Good morning. We're glad to see so many out this morning, and we extend a particularly hearty welcome to those of you who may be visiting with us here at Bethany Bible Chapel for the first time. As we look forward to this series of meetings by our brother Dick Saunders, we extend a welcome to you to join us again this evening at 7 o'clock, and for the remainder of the week at 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And again, a welcome to you to join us at our regularly scheduled services when this series of meetings is concluded. At this time, shall we just unite our hearts in prayer?
We're going to turn to God's Word at this time for a reading. Before we do, I would like to say that all of you that brought a packed lunch and your supper with you, anticipating that I might be preaching from 11 o'clock until 7, you may relax and you can go home and have lunch and your supper and then come back at 7 o'clock. It merely means we'll be preaching at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock. But I do have some practice in long preaching, but I don't intend to cause you that pain this morning. We'll be through at our normal time. I would like to say before reading God's Word that the slide presentation that I will be showing this evening following the service is a short one. It's lasts, I think, 22 minutes. So that we will be having our service tonight at 11 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, and that will be till 8 o'clock, and then there'll be a break for friends who wish to leave to do so, and after that, those who can stay, we hope all of you, will stay and see the slides of my ministry in various parts of the world, and as it's a short presentation, I don't see that there need be any reason, perhaps, for any of you to leave. So please, if you are coming tonight, we'd love you to stay, and I think it will give you something to praise God for, and a greater insight to the work God's given to me and to our little team, and that may help in inviting others along during the week, because if they ask you who I am and what I'm doing here, having seen the slides, you may be able to share a little bit with them about the ministry, and that may be just one of the ways in which you'll be able to encourage someone to come and share with us. I certainly hope you're all planning to come tonight without exception, and you're all working very hard to bring at least one person with you so that we'll be absolutely full tonight with no empty seats anywhere. And tomorrow night, well, if all the friends you bring tonight also bring a friend tomorrow, well, we'll have to have overflows. No reason why we shouldn't just fill the whole chapel and see a great time of blessing during this week of meetings. Let's turn to the Old Testament, into the book of Joshua, and let's look at a few verses from the 24th chapter. Joshua chapter 24, and we're reading from the 14th verse. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 22, And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourself, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. The Lord will add his blessing upon this public reading of his word.
Hymn number 95. We'll sing together the first and the fourth stanzas, the first and the last stanzas of this hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in?
Head bowed. This Sunday morning is not just another attendance at worship. It's not just one more Sunday. This, I believe, for someone here this morning is going to be the turning point of their life. I believe that a decision is going to be made here this morning that will affect their eternal destiny. Not only have hundreds of people in this area prayed for this morning's service, but some thousands of people in many parts of the world have this Lord's Day morning prayed that God would speak here today and through this week. And you may have come in here this morning troubled, a heavy heart, burdens that you haven't been able to share with others, yearnings and longings in your heart for things that you have not yet discovered or come to know in a truthful way. And this morning you're here with a heart open to God, and God's going to reveal himself to you through his Son. This is to be a moment, a great moment in your life. I beg of you to listen to every word and to respond from your very soul to the God who will be speaking to you today. And in responding, may you enter into the joy of the salvation of the Lord Himself. O God, we pray for each and every one here this morning, that your word may become meaningful to their hearts. I pray for myself that I may speak well of the Lord Jesus, that I may honor Him who gave Himself for us, that no word may idly fall from my lips, that everything that could be said that is irrelevant to the needs of these people or to the glory of Thy name will be forgotten, but the things which will be for our salvation may be retained within our hearts to bring glory and praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we ask it, and for His glory alone. Amen. Today's decision may well affect your eternal destiny. I don't know whether you'd ever thought of that before, but the decisions of each day affect our eternal future. Joshua had been a great leader of the Israelites. Moses had been taken from them, and Joshua had taken on that awesome, tremendous task of leading this great nation. And God had blessed him in his leadership, and God had blessed the people through his courageous stand. Joshua is preparing to leave this world and meet his Lord. And the people are heavy upon his heart. He does not want to leave this nation until he sees the nation holy and completely committed to their God. He wants to see them and he wants to hear them say from their heart, "We will serve the Lord." And the story that I read to you this morning from the scriptures was the story of Joshua's meeting, that final great meeting with the nation. What a tremendous thing that he was able to say from his own heart, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He was speaking for himself and his entire family, that they were a committed family, that they loved the Lord, and that they intended by God's grace to serve the Lord whom they loved. And thus he challenged the people and asked them to make a like commitment and a like decision. And he said to them in verse 15, "There are two ways open unto you. You know the Lord of glory. He brought us out of Egypt. He has led us all through these years," said Joshua. "You know of his great power. You know of his great love. You know of his compassion. You know of his grace. You know of this God. And you may choose him to be your God. But there's one other option open unto you, and that is that you can choose the gods of this world. You can follow the pattern of the world. You can turn your back upon the God of creation and the God of glory and the God of power and the God of great wonders. And you can choose puny gods of stone. You can, if you want, follow gods that have no power, gods that hear no prayer, gods who can bring no deliverance, gods that can offer you no future. But it's up to you. You must make the choice." For Joshua knew that there is a truth that has been revealed since the beginning of time, and that is that the great God of the universe, who created man, gave man freedom of choice. That freedom of choice was exercised in the Garden of Eden, and it has been exercised ever since. And you, like all others that have preceded you living on this little planet, have the same freedom of choice. There will be no one in heaven who has not, of their own free choice, accepted the love and the mercy and the salvation of God in Christ. If we want to go our own way and do our own thing, then God gives us that privilege to choose our own life on earth and our own eternal destiny. And wherever you spend eternity will have been determined by you alone. Your eternal destiny will be determined by your decisions now about God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua knew that these people had freedom of choice. And he says there are two ways open to you. A surrendered heart, a surrendered will, a surrendered life to the Lord of glory. Or following the puny, weak, no gods that the heathens follow and seek to worship. What are you going to do? Says Joshua. And I believe that God has brought you into this chapel this morning because this is a crisis hour in your life. And I believe that there may never be ever again in your life another moment like this. I believe God in His wisdom and in His sovereign decision has made this morning your morning to meet with His Son. And I believe the happiness of your family, the happiness of your own future life, whether your life here on earth through the years that are to come has meaning, purpose, or whether it's just an empty, wasted life, will be determined by your decision this morning. Your eternal destiny may well also be determined by your decision this morning. Nowhere in the Bible does God give the preacher and the exclaimer of the gospel the privilege to tell anyone that tomorrow is a day of salvation. That tomorrow you may make decisions. That tomorrow you may choose your destiny. Everywhere in the scripture, God exhorts the preachers of the gospel, the teachers of His word, to impress indelibly upon the hearts of the hearer that today is the day of salvation. For who knows about tomorrow? Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You know not what tomorrow may bring. I know not whether I will stand to preach another sermon. I do not even know whether I'll complete this one. Only God knows that. Dear brother that worked with me for years as our counseling director 2 years ago, stood up to proclaim the scriptures, beginning to preach Christ from Isaiah 53. He wasn't 3 minutes into his message, just exalting the precious Savior, and he went straight into the Savior's presence. He's home with the Lord. Don't you boast yourself of tomorrow. Not even of coming tonight, though I hope you will. But this may be, and it, I believe for someone it is, your moment of decision. And before I close, in a few moments from now, so brief these times that we have together, I'm going to ask you to choose the Lord to be your Lord, your Savior, your King, to bow your knee to Him and to invite Him into your heart, to take up His residence there, to be your Savior and your Lord. Let's look briefly at this story to see how it applies to us and how it challenges us this morning. First of all, in verse 15, Joshua says, "Choose you this day." Notice how personal it is. Choose you. There isn't a person here this morning can make a decision for another. There are fathers here this morning who, if they could make a decision for their son or their daughter, would make it. There are fathers here this morning who, if they could bring their son or their daughter into the kingdom of God, would give their very life to do so. They would willingly lay down their life physically if it could make sure that a son or a daughter could be brought into the eternal kingdoms of God. That's how much some of us love those that God has given to us. But I can make no decision for my children, and you can make no decision for yours. Decisions for eternity are made in our own heart as individuals. And the word from the Lord through the lips of Joshua this morning is this: choose you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Can you look back this morning upon a moment in time when you actually chose to make God's Son, the Lord Jesus, your Savior, your Lord? You know about Him. You know about His life, His death, His resurrection. But have you ever consciously surrendered your heart and your will and your life and your emotions to the Lord Jesus, and repenting of your sin, ask Him to be your Savior? Choose you. And I repeat it again. This is God's moment with you. And I believe God has you sitting here in this chapel today, because I believe it is the day He has chosen to sovereignly work in your heart and bring you through into the delights and the joy of sins forgiven and a new relationship with Himself. Choose you this day. There are many reasons why we should emphasize this day. One I have already briefly mentioned, and that is the uncertainties of living. The Word of God says, we're not to say that tomorrow we will do this or that, go, buy, sell, whatever. For we don't know about tomorrow. There's the uncertainty of life. Not one of us knows when God is going to call us into eternity. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. None of us know when that day will be. God calls teenagers into His kingdom, or calls them away from this little life into the darkness of a lost eternity. Death never has been a respecter of persons. Death never looks at the birth certificate to find out our age before it puts its icy cold hand upon our shoulders. Teenagers can be swept away by death. Young men and women just beginning family life with all that it promises and offers can be taken away by death. What if you were to die today? Do you know where you would be tomorrow? You know, that's something that gives me the greatest peace in my life. But I don't fear death. I don't particularly want to die. I love living. I enjoy every moment of it. It's rewarding, it's fulfilling. The days aren't long enough most of the time to do all the things that I'd like to do, because there's such a challenge in life. It's tremendous being a Christian and living. There are problems to face, but it's great to live. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to say that if today is the day God's going to call, I have nothing to fear at all. I know where I'm going. Do you really know that? Can you really face death and eternity without any fear in your heart? Do you know where you're going? If God should call today, where would you spend eternity? That's one reason why you should make the decision today. Because only those who have received the Lord Jesus by faith will be in heaven itself. Heaven is a place prepared for those whose hearts and lives have been cleansed from sin through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we also have the fact in God's Word so proclaimed that Christ is coming back. And I mustn't digress here, because this is something that every preacher delights to talk of, and that is the second coming of the Lord. There will be an evening this week in which we will be speaking about it, and the whole evening will be given to that subject. But the Lord is coming. And the Bible tells us that He is coming at any moment. And if the trumpet should sound right now whilst we're seated here in this service this morning, and the Lord of glory should return to call away the believers, Christ and made Him my Lord and Saviour, and I know if Christ came this morning, I would respond to that trumpet call, and I would be with Him. Have you any assurance of this? I wonder how many would be left seated in the chapel this morning, lost, afraid, and alone, if the Lord should come. He's coming. He's coming. There's absolutely no doubt the whole world events are pointing to the fact that His coming is drawing very near. And if the Lord should come and you had not received the Lord Jesus by faith into your heart, you would be eternally lost. Today, says Joshua, today, make your choice. And why shouldn't you make a choice for the Lord today? What is there that hinders you? Joshua says, choose you today whom you will serve. He's asking them to choose the Lord to be Lord of their life. And I, using this verse from the Old Testament, bring it into the New Testament context and show to you the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible has unfolded to us the story of God's grace and of God's forgiveness and of God's love, and has shown us that His Son, the Lord Jesus, who was with Him before the world was. John says He was with God the Father in the act of creation. John tells us there's nothing made but what it was brought into being by the Word of the power of Christ Jesus. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus, who said that He is equal with God, why, He said to Philip and the disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, for I and My Father are one. And yet the Lord Jesus, who spoke the Word and there was light, who threw the multitudes of worlds out into space, who formed the beauty of this little planet, who created man, this same Lord Jesus became a human being and lived amongst men for one purpose, to give His life upon a cross to save us from an empty, black, lost eternity. He gave His life to bring us pardon. He gave His life to forgive us every sin. He gave His life to bring us unto God. He gave His life that we might by faith accept Him and know what it is to be the possessor of eternal salvation. Oh, I want you to choose the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy of your choice. He's worthy of your love. He's worthy of every ounce of energy you will ever possess in all your life. You young people here today, don't throw away your lives serving other men and serving other causes. They're all wasted calls. Every cause other than the cause of Christ will prove to be a wasted cause. You can live your life in the pursuit of some grand career, live your life in pursuit of money and material things, and one day you'll look back on it all with nothing but regrets. Yield your heart to Christ and give your life to Him, and at the end of life there'll be no regrets in your heart, not one. He's worthy! He's worthy! Around the throne in heaven at this very moment are multitudes of men and women saved down through the years of time. And they surround the throne of God, and their one theme today is this: worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and riches and power. He's worthy. Why? Because He was slain. Because He gave His life. Oh, friend, He's worthy of your love today. Choose Him. Choose Him. Choose Him. Choose Him as your Savior. Choose Him. And ask Him today, as you repent of your sins, to step into your heart to be your Lord. He's worthy. Take a journey to Gethsemane. Is He worthy? Oh, just tiptoe into Gethsemane. And listen. And look. The Creator of the universe, the Son of the living God, the lovely Lord Jesus, is kneeling alone. As you listen, you hear His prayer. And He prays, Father, if this cup can pass from Me, please let it be that way. He was facing a cross. It was only hours away. The beating and the scourging were so near. He shrank from the horrors of it all physically as He looked out there and saw those whips. He could see those men already poised, whips in hand, leather whips tipped with lead that were going to flog His back and tear it apart. He could see the men already plaiting that crown of thorns that's going to pierce His lovely brow. He sees those men waiting to beat those thorns into His brow. He sees the robe there that He's going to be dressed in and mocked. He sees it all, and the weight of the sorrow that it brings causes Him to cry, is it possible, Father? Can I escape this hour? And God the Father said, Son, there's no way. The salvation of every man and woman that has ever lived and ever will live depends upon your going to the cross. Did you know that? That there's no way anyone will ever be saved apart from His death. No one! No one! Not one single person that's ever breathed on this planet will ever make their way into the presence of God and into heaven apart from the merit and the value of the death of our Lord Jesus upon Calvary. See Him, He sweats drops of blood. Can you understand that? Can you imagine a sorrow so great that a man sweats drops of blood as he prays? That's Jesus. He's worthy of your response. Aren't you ashamed this morning that you've ever kept anything back from Him? Don't you feel it in your heart this morning, young man? Ashamed that at school you should have dishonored Him by the way you speak, the friends you've chosen, the very actions and attitudes of your life? Is there not a girl here this morning who feels utterly ashamed that they should have wasted so many of these tender years of life keeping Jesus in the shadows? Not loving Him as you should, pursuing worldly things that have never satisfied you anyway. And is there not a married couple here this morning who, although your marriage is fine and you thank God for the quality of it and the love and the joy you've shared together, you thank God for your home and your work, do you not feel somewhat ashamed this morning that He's had so little place in your marriage and so little place in your heart? You admire Him, you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't admire the Lord Jesus.
But is he your Savior and Lord? He's worthy. He sweat drops of blood, but that was the beginning of sorrows. What was to follow is beyond the description of poet or hymn writer or preacher. There's no way to describe what happened in those hours that followed. He's worthy of your love. Choose him today. Choose him today. Give your heart to him today. Let go of all the other things that have amused you and pleased you and charmed you. And let the Savior become your Savior today. They took him and tore his back with whips, dressed him in a purple robe and mocked him. It says they set him at naught, made him an absolute nobody. And he was the King of Glory. Do you know why he took those whips? Do you know why he let men spit in his face? There is no insult greater than to spit in a man's face. Do you know why he allowed them to pluck the very beard from his cheeks? Do you know why he took their insults? Do you know why he suffered pains beyond any description physically? And do you know why on that cross he was willing to let a holy, righteous God pour out all his wrath against him so that he was dealt with like a sinner, though in fact he was sinless? Do you know why he endured it all? Do you know why? Because he loves you. That's why. He loves you. He loves you now. He loves you. And if you never get to heaven, it will not be because he did not love you. It will be because you would not respond to his love. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There is no desire in the heart of Almighty God greater than this. And it is the salvation of poor sinful men. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. But his love cannot bring you to heaven unless you respond to it. For he is a righteous God and a holy God. And he has pronounced that all who reject his Son will be rejected eternally from heaven. And the rejection of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean hostility towards him. The rejection of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that you don't believe that he lived. The rejection of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that you do not approve of his life or admire it. The rejection of the Lord Jesus means that you have never received him into your heart as your own precious Lord. Open your heart to him. The Lord Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Have you ever received him? Have you ever opened your life to him? There's no way to heaven except you receive God's Son. He loves you. That's why he died for you. Oh, the Lord Jesus loved you unto death. You'll never really understand, and neither will I, what he suffered. But he suffered it all for you. He loves you. He's worthy. He's worthy of your life. He's worthy of your energies. He's worthy of your talents. He's worthy that you give him your marriage, your home, your future. Give him, yield to him, choose him, and make him Savior and Lord. He's worthy. Friend, the wrong decision will be disastrous now and through eternity. You only have to have one simple look at hell itself, and you realize how disastrous it will be. There is a hell. Oh, I thank God there's a heaven procured for us through the Lord Jesus' death, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. I can't begin to believe what heaven's like. I don't think we preach about it enough. It's so wonderful. Heaven's going to be so fantastic that everything we've ever known on earth is going to be totally eclipsed by the beauty and the wonder of heaven itself. And if we knew how beautiful heaven was, we'd be so eager to get there. Perhaps that's why the Lord hasn't let us know, because he has a work for us to do down here, and we wouldn't get on with our work if we knew how wonderful it would be. We just want to go home. We wouldn't want to stay here at all. Heaven's marvelous. Oh, it's beautiful. It's God's home. It must be. The home of Jesus, the Son of God. It must be wonderful. And hell is just the opposite. It's a place of utter darkness. It's a place where God's presence will never be felt. There's no love there. It's a place where nothing but hatred will be experienced through all eternity, because God is absent and love is of God. There is no love in the world that is not of God. A mother's love, a sweetheart's love, a child's love, it's all of God. There's no love in hell. Can you imagine being shut for all eternity in a place where God is not? Oh, it will be disastrous to die without Jesus. Oh, choose him today. He loves you. He wants to save you. He has so much to give you. Choose him today. Now, this decision, finally, will affect you in three ways, really. I believe it's a decision that must, first of all, flow from your mind. Nowhere in the Scriptures does God ever asks us to make a decision without using our intellect. Some people say if you become a Christian, you commit intellectual suicide. Well, that's utter rubbish. The whole Bible says think before you choose. Joshua said think before you choose. He said think about God, his greatness, his power, his majesty, his might, his love, his glory, his deliverance. Think about God, he said. And on the basis of what you think, choose. And when you come to the New Testament, everywhere we're exhorted to think of Christ, to think of his love, to think of his death, to think of his grace, to think of his compassion, to think of his mercy. And Isaiah said, when he was speaking to the people, he said, speaking on God's behalf, come, let us reason together. The Lord was flowing through this man. Come, let us reason together. God expects us to think. And Jesus said, whatever you do, don't make your decision without facing the cost. So he expects us to think. Now, I've given you enough material this morning to think about. Just a few minutes. But it's enough to think. And friend, you need Christ. If you have never received him in your heart as your Savior, your own heart tells you you need him. You know this morning that the thing your heart aches for more than anything is to be sure that you're at peace with God, to be sure you're saved, to be sure you're going to heaven. Why, this morning, if it could be purchased with money, there is really no limit to what you would give except what you possess. You'd give almost everything if you could be saved. You don't need to give anything but your heart to Christ. It must come from the mind. It must come from the heart. When we respond to Christ, it must be because we say, Lord Jesus, you've won my heart's affection. I believe you died for me, and I'm responding to you. But finally, it's the will. Choose. 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 You this day, whom you will serve. And so I contemplate the wonders of the provision of God in Christ through the cross and through his death. I think of my own sinful heart. I think of my own future, should I live and die without the Savior. I think of what Christ has done for me. It touches my heart. There's not a heart here this morning that hasn't been moved by the story of Calvary. You've felt within you a welling up of appreciation to the Lord Jesus that he would ever have suffered and died for you. But finally, it's the will. And I'm going to ask you in one moment from now to come to Christ. I'm going to ask you, if you're sitting in the back row, to get up out of that seat and walk down the aisle here reverently, quietly, and stand here just through the hymn to say, Lord, if you will accept me this morning, I want to choose you as my Lord. I don't know what the future holds, Lord. I just know I need you. And you have offered to save me and to love me and to keep me. And I'm just going to make this commitment, Lord. Perhaps you'll come in fear. Of course you will. The devil will make sure of that. But you come this morning and say, Lord, I just want to choose you. I want to give you my heart, my life, my all. And I want to repent of my sin if you'll help me, Lord. And I want to accept you as my Savior. I'm going to ask you to do that. Jesus says, now, I'm at the door. He's nearer to you than anyone else. He says, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And he says, I want you to open the door and let me in. And all you have to do this morning is to choose him. Open the door of your life, repenting of your sin and turning from it by God's help. You say, Lord, this morning I choose you. Lord, this morning I want to make you my Savior. My Lord, please accept me, Lord, into your family and make me your child. I'm going to ask husbands and wives to come, children to come, young men to come. I'm going to ask you to come to Christ this morning. You know, this year I've seen thousands of people come to the Lord. In little meetings, big meetings, I've just seen people whose hearts have been hungry and empty and yearning. Let go of this old world. Let go of their fears and let go of their pride. And I've seen them come and stand humbly before the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, accept me. I choose you as my Savior. Take me now and save me. And I'm going to ask you to walk down the aisle as we sing our final hymn. We're going to sing that hymn right now together. It's 198. 198. Wherever you are, people will move and let you by. If you're in the middle of a row and you've never accepted Christ, people will just stand back and let you by. Now, you folks who are sitting there, if there's someone near you or in the row that you know may want to come, you just be sensitive and step out of the row and just let anybody this morning whose heart has been touched. I believe that there may never be in all of your life another moment just like this one. I am certain that God has brought me here this morning with this message for you, because this is your moment to begin this committed and new life with Christ. Now, husband and wives, whoever you are, young people, just come. The Lord's arms are outstretched to welcome you. And as Joshua made that decision or that call that day, out of that camp came men and women and boys and girls to say, we will serve the Lord. You come now as we sing. Let's stand to sing 198. Don't wait. You come right now. God's speaking to you. It won't get easier if you wait. Just come quickly. Walk down here and give your heart and your life to Christ. Quickly, you come. Just as... Don't wait. Just come. Expresses everything you're feeling. There's a conflict in your heart and mind. I know that. You say, I don't know whether I could keep it up. Well, you can't keep it up. It's Christ who'll keep you up. You say, I don't know whether I understand everything. Of course you don't. You only need to understand your need of him and the fact that he has a provision for all your need. Friend, don't let the devil win a victory there. There are doubts, there's fightings and fears, and there always will be. There'll never be a moment in your life when you will be without that fight or that battle within. The very fact that the battle is great in your heart is a proof that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart this morning. And as we sing these final three verses, let go and come. Now, this year's been a year when we've seen more married couples come to the Lord than at any time in our ministry. And I think there's a couple somewhere here this morning. I don't know any of you. You're strangers to me. I just feel there's a couple God's been speaking to. One of you may love the Lord. Perhaps the partner doesn't. And you respect your partner's faith, but you've never let go and become one spiritually with your partner. You come. There's a young man here somewhere today. I don't know where you are. God's spoken. There may never be another moment like this. I'm not going to plead with you more. The Holy Spirit's already working in your heart. Don't you let pride or fear prevent you coming. People will move. They'd even walk down here with you if you want them to. Walking here doesn't save you, but you have to let go. And there has to be a moment when you say, I will choose the Lord, and I will let go, and I will in faith take hold of the Saviour. Come quickly as we sing. Let go and come. The moment you come, others will come, because there are many who feel as you do this morning in their need of Christ. Quickly as we close, you come.
Just as I am, who tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Don't wait, just come.
Just as I am.
We're going to close in prayer after this verse.
Just
remain standing for our closing prayer. It may be that there is someone here who would dearly love to speak with us about their heart burden. You just couldn't bring yourself to the front. You wanted to so desperately. There will be people who will remain right at the front, counselors who have some booklets here which have been designed and written specially for you. While others are going out, if you'd just like a booklet, come straight to the front here. Brother Jack Barlow will be right here to just introduce you to someone, give you a book before you leave for home. Don't let the morning pass without your response. While others go out, you just walk straight to the front here and receive that booklet. They'll be waiting right here to give them to you. Tonight I will be speaking on, is the new birth really necessary? So call your friends and invite them in. Is the new birth really necessary? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your presence with us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's power and presence in conveying your word to our hearts. We thank you that no word from you falls fruitless to the ground. And we believe that you have begun a work in the hearts this morning that are going to come to fruition this week. And we pray that everyone troubled this morning
will have no rest until they find their rest in Christ. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us a good day. May the meeting tonight be greatly blessed, and may many be saved. We ask it for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. We hope to see you tonight at 7 o'clock tonight. In the week it's 8 o'clock. Tonight at 7 o'clock. If you wish a booklet, make your way forward to receive it. God bless you all.
Exposure. leisure for long periods of time to excess dietary sodium. But these lead them to a hemodynamic cascade leading from an expanded volume with high cardiac output to an increased peripheral resistance. This peripheral resistance, which is the primary hemodynamic abnormality of established essential hypertension, is likely the result of a variety of interplaying factors. We have not identified all of them. We are still in the process of looking for various vasodepressors, the kallikreins, the prostaglandins. These are two that have been intensively looked at more recently. As we've heard,
until it becomes a fixed issue.